directing the services this morning. It's Mother's Day. What a happy occasion. I do pray that I will do that day justice, Lord, and honor our mothers for who they are and how they influence, Lord, us so much, not only when we're young, but as we're maturing and then growing, and even in our later years, our moms are very important. We just pray that you'd bless the service this morning. Guide, lead, and direct in all things. In Jesus' name, forsake, amen. The title of my message is Mothers Making a Difference, and that comes from Jude 22. Jude 22 is only one chapter in Jude, so it's the 22nd verse. In Jude 22, the Bible says, "And some have compassion, making a difference." And again, the title is Mothers Making a Difference. I don't know about you, but I think mothers are the most compassionate. We men struggle in that area. We can get as close as to empathy, but, you know, compassion, we sometimes don't ever hold a candle to women, mothers. A mother with her child, you know, I think of a bear, a mama bear, you know, and they always tell you, don't even get in between that mama bear and her cubs. And that's the way it is with, you know, with humans sometimes, too. You know, that mama, you know, with all those kids' faults and all those kids' headaches and problems and, you know, just it doesn't matter. That's my baby. And I think that's important to understand. You know, God designed mothers to be the most compassionate people on earth. I believe that. Mother's Day is that special day today. Comes around once in a year when our attention rightly focuses upon our moms. We have days of Thanksgiving. We have Father's Day. We have a day we call Christmas Day. Hopefully we focus on Jesus more than that, but hopefully we focus on our mothers more than that. We have what we call Resurrection Sunday, Easter. And we think about the resurrection, focus on Jesus Christ, the fact that He went to that cross and He died and He rose again. So we have special days. Mother's Day is an important day. It's not just a day for Hallmark to make money in sending cards or flowers to make more money, but it's a time when you pick up the phone and you make sure you call your mom. You make sure you express your love and as best you can. I mean, obviously it's a little different for me today. I was supposed to talk to my mom this morning or later this afternoon, and then she passed. And, you know, I won't be able to do that. But, you know, you just, life is a circle, you know. And let me go ahead on. I better do that. Oxford Dictionary says of a mother, it's a woman who has borne a child. According to the world, a mother simply means one who's procreated. What a sad commentary. Because it's much more than that. My mom was much more than the one that brought me into the world and brought my two brothers and my sister into the world. We adopted our children, so that's a mother there. And we didn't, you know, we lost our one child. And mothers are very important. We know a mother is not simply bearing children. It's absurd to think that. It's like having a piano in your house and saying you're a musician. A piano in your house doesn't make you a musician any more than bearing a child makes you a mother. To become a mother, it's something you invest in. You invest in your children. You invest in their lives. You give them every opportunity that, whether you had it or not, whether you had a mother that was perfect, none of us did or do, but you do, you try to always excel. We need good mothers. We need good grandmothers. We need mothers that are like Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and that's what we'll be looking at this morning. Godly people refer frequently to the influence of having a mother of character. Of course, the opposite is unfortunately true, too. In the story of Samuel, she's a godly mother, Samuel's mother. You know, what about you? If you had a godly mother, then you're quite fortunate. And you should be thankful, especially on this particular day that we set aside. Sometimes those that think about their mother, it brings back pain. And that's understandable. Not all relationships are what they should be or how God designed them. For you, this day may be a day to start the process of healing or reconciliation or forgiveness. We all need to try to have relationships that glorify God, and any relationship that is unforgiving or is strained, you know, because of whatever may have gone on in the past is the past. You can always make the future different. The fact is, mothers have a huge impact on the world. Think about Jesus' mother and how Mary may have influenced the Lord. I mean, we don't know. Obviously, God designed it to where, you know, she wasn't non-impacting just because he was God manifest in the flesh. Throughout history, it's like that. You think of John and Charles Wesley. I've read their biographies, and they talk about their mother and the spiritual foundation that she formed in them. The passion that they had for Christ came in a large part from their mother. The experience can be told time and time again about those things. I didn't get saved until I was 20, but my upbringing made my life and walk with Christ a much easier transition. See, I'd gone out there in the world and I'd sowed my wild oats. I was down here in Florida, drinking age was 20, and I made 18, and I made sure that, you know, I did what I did. And it wasn't a life that really was fulfilling at all, and it wasn't fulfilling at all. And as soon as I could run from it, I did, and I ended up running into the arms of Jesus. I got saved. My whole life was changed. Glory, hallelujah. You guys are awfully quiet this morning. Ease up, loosen up. Mothers are the major influencers in the world. They've always played the primary role in molding and shaping the lives of the next generation. Yet the world totally discounts that and really disparages motherhood. It's a shame. Hollywood often portrays motherhood in the same way as they do maybe even slavery or some form of bondage instituted by society. And if you really study that out, you'll see that that's true. They portray motherhood and children as getting in the way of a woman living her life. And that's why a lot of mothers are confused. They get confused because there's this contradictory message being given out there inwardly. You're a mother. You have a love for that child that can only be diminished by outside forces that are satanic. And I believe a lot of what comes out of Hollywood is satanic. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll get to 1 Samuel here shortly. But you know, I told you what Hollywood does to the family, or really, I just mentioned mothers, but they do that to the whole family. You think about shows that have been put out there. I think the normal family now is when you don't have a mother and father, you have two men or two women. You know, they're trying to portray that as a normal, healthy family, and they're trying to say that if you have a man and a woman, well, you know, you're old fashioned. That's passé. You know, it's not for today. It's not. Being right. But here's what the Bible says about all that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? See, all that worldly wisdom, God says it's all foolishness. It's all foolishness. Look at chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You see, this world will try to convince you that motherhood is not important. But motherhood is one of the most important aspects of a good society, a good church. Everything about motherhood is that way. Now, I'm not discounting fathers. It's just not Father's Day. It's Mother's Day. We don't need to talk about you men, and other than I will tell you about husbands love your wives. So I will mention that. You know, how should you, you know, what can you do to make Mother's Day very special? Well, that's what I'll tell you. Psalm 94:11 says, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity." Motherhood is something that God created, and He said it was good. The world portrays a mother as less important than a career or finding out who you are. By the way, that same truth, as I said, concerns fathers too. Go ahead, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read some of the chapter, and let's look at what the Bible says. What made Hannah a great mother? We can learn about godly motherhood by considering her. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Samuel. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaea-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. Now, I'm not going to get into... they were told not to multiply their wives, and not to multiply horses either, but they broke both of those. The name of the one was Hanan, the name of the other, Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Shiloh was where they had assembled together in Joshua chapter 18, north side of Bethel. It's a temple location now. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Phinehas, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, one of the things I think you should get from this is, you know, first of all, the love that a husband has to his wife. But secondly, the Lord shut her womb. And there was a purpose for it. And that purpose was to be born out later on. I mean, I don't know if she'd had children right away, would she have ever dedicated one of them, like Samuel, who became the greatest of prophets? Would she have made a vow to God later on in the story? We find out about it. Would she have made that vow if God would have given her children right away? Probably not. So why does she have to go through this with God shutting up her womb? Because all things work together for good. Because God knows the future and what the future holds, and we don't know. We can worry about it. We can fret about it. We can just spend our every thought wasted on worrying about things that you cannot control, that are outside of the purview of what you're able to control. A lot of people spend their life like that. I used to worry all the time. I've told you that before. I don't worry now. I accept things that I can't change, and I move on. My mom died. Somebody came in and said, "Well, I'm surprised to see her today." Well, you know, I understand that. But I can't shut down just because I suffered loss. And found out this morning. I didn't find out until 7:30 this morning. But then I got a message back there, and they asked, you know, for me to do a funeral next Saturday. And I called them back. I'll do the funeral. And my mom's memorial will go on later on in Pennsylvania. Listen, You say, well, how can you do that? Or are you cold and indifferent? And the answer is no. I want to trust God. I can't control this situation. I can't change the situation. And in fact, I would not change the situation given the opportunity. It's just not something that I can do. Looking at verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Talks about her adversary. Of course, we know 1 Peter 5:8, the adversary, the devil. But I think this is talking about Elkanah's other wife. I think she was the adversary. Although she wasn't, you know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your problem is not people. Your problem is a spiritual battle that goes on. And if we recognize that spiritual battle, we won't get so caught up in thinking that everybody around us is our problem. Our problem probably is more looking in the mirror than anything else. Our problem is generally us, and it's how we react to things that are put into our lives. How do you react when difficult things take place? How do you respond to those things? Does it draw you closer to God, or does it put a division in between you and God to where it's an insurmountable mountain that you can't get over? You've got to make sure that whatever comes in your life, if you are a child of God and you are right with God, that you accept those things and you try to find God in the thing, because God is surely there. The Lord had shut up her womb. The adversary was after her. Look at verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Men never understand these things. Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not, now this is where he really gets stupid. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Listen, that guy doesn't have a clue about motherhood. Say what you will, men. You are no replacement for having a child. Although we men try to think of ourselves as, you know, oh yeah, you know, God's gift to my wife. No, it's not the same thing. Best thing to do is keep your mouth shut. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. But here he is. He's like, look, why don't you eat? Why are you crying, woman? You know, I mean, this is very gentle here, but you can imagine that. And listen, he loved his wife. You know, the Bible says that. He loved his wife. But listen, just because you love somebody doesn't mean you understand them. Men don't understand women. You understand your wife? Because we can't. So here's the thing. I think the key to life is to always try. It's not that you ever will come to the same level. We're wired different. But the point is, if you love, you will try. Will you make it? No. But so what? I mean, if you strive for perfection in your life, you're not going to make it. But what should you do? You should live godly in Christ Jesus, because that's what you're told to do. Same thing. Husbands, learn your wife. Learn what pleases her. Learn what saddens her. But don't try to figure her out completely. Isn't going to happen. Verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. It says she was in bitterness and she prayed. You know, Psalm 37:1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't get so fretful if you have an adversary. You'll have adversaries in this life. You'll have people that don't like you just because you are you. It's okay. You know what you need to do? You need to look at it and say, hey, I'm doing the best I can do. If you are doing the best you can do, You leave it up to God. You know what God can do? God can soften a heart that you can't even imagine could ever be softened. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She was saying, I will have a Nazaritic vow. No razor upon his head. And if you'll read number 6, you'll see the Nazaritic vow in there that she's making for him. Why did she make that vow? Because she didn't have any children. Why did God shut up her womb? Because he needed a mom that would dedicate her child so to the Lord. You had Eli and Hophni, Phinehas, all of them weren't footing the bill. They didn't hear from God. They were priests, but they weren't spiritual. And God's getting ready to judge them and have Samuel take their place. God needed somebody like Samuel. What did it take to get a Samuel? A mother, future mother, that suffered because God shut up her womb. You see, we don't understand things. We can look back with 20/20 hindsight, but we can't look forward. We can't look at the present, and we can't understand why do you have to go through the things you have to go through? Why do you have to suffer the way you have to suffer? Because God takes that suffering and he brings a perfection out of it. Something that he can't get if he made your life easy. The first thing I want you to see, mothers make the biggest difference when they're committed to God and committed to prayer. That's number one. Committed to God, committed to prayer. That's what we see here. Her heartfelt pain and shame was that she had no children. She had to endure the daily taunting and mocking of her barrenness by Peniah, particularly when they went to the house of the Lord each year. Can you imagine every year they go to the house of the Lord and she's like dreading it because she knows what's coming? To add insult to injury, the insults seemed to continue when Hannah arrived at the temple to pray. Eli the priest accused her of being drunk. We'll see that here in a moment. Nevertheless, Hannah continued to pray earnestly, humbly trusting and persevering in God. God heard the prayer of that humble woman. Verse 12, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. He was reading her lips. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And let me stop there for a moment. Be careful what you assume about others. There are people that judge in a heartbeat. And they look at you and they'll judge you for what they perceive. And it's as far from the east as the west, the truth. Here he says, are you drunken? No, she's just pouring her heart out before God. Would you come to the house of the Lord drunk? How dare you? No, she's bitter even. That's what the Bible says. Verse 14, Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Boy, it gets even worse. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Just the opposite is true. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. For now, his two sons were sons of Belial, according to the Bible in chapter 2. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat and her countenance was no more sad. Second thing, mothers make the biggest difference when they commit their children to the Lord. We live in a world of entitlement and self-determinism, meaning we determine our future. It isn't that God determines it. If you can ever get, and if you aren't already, you should be, to where you let God determine your future. You let God determine your direction. We sometimes, in our society, believe it's our right to possess and determine how something or someone is used. It's a far cry from the biblical position of seeing all things as gifts to us from God. And that we are to submit to God's will in how we live and how we determine how something is used or how others are to live their lives. Hannah understood this. She recognized that Samuel was not hers, but belonged to God. He was on loan to her from God. Let's continue. Verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah's wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. Samuel means asked of God. Saying, because I have asked him of the Lord, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. The third thing I want you to see is that mothers make the biggest difference when their love is sacrificial. If your children see a sacrificial love that you have toward them, they will reciprocate in their life to have that same type of love toward others. The problem in society today is love is not sacrificial anymore. Love is selfish, and it's truly not love. Love is giving yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave, love is giving. We don't have that definition anymore. Love seems to be relationships outside of the marriage bond. That's not love, that's lust. Hannah exemplified the teaching of Jesus. She was willing to lose her life for God's sake. She was willing to lay down her life, her wishes, her desires for her son in a most tangible way. She was willing to give her son to God. She lived in accordance to what God's will was, and that was most precious to her of all things. Most mothers can relate to this quote, before you were born, I loved you. Before you were here an hour, I would die for you. David Lloyd George was remembered as one of the greatest prime ministers of Great Britain from 1916 to 1922, yet his past is little known. When he was an infant in northern England, his mother got caught in a blizzard. Lost and freezing, she huddled beneath a tree for a little shelter there, removing her coat and wrapping it around young David. The next day, she was found dead, but the child was still alive. See, that's what we're talking about here. The world doesn't understand this love. You have parents killing their children. You have abortions that is... The biggest influence to stop an abortion is if that woman sees that that's a child growing in her womb and not a tissue or a fetus. That's what changes the most minds. But now we not only kill the young, we euthanize the elderly as though they have nothing to contribute. They have a lot to contribute. The wisdom, the years of experience that they have that we need, The fourth thing is that mothers make the biggest difference when they love and are loved by their husbands. By their husbands. The relationship between the love of a husband, love of a child is not mutually exclusive. Hannah demonstrated she loved both equally. One is a husband, another is a son. And there's a balance that needs to be struck there. Elkanah, Hannah's husband, knew it would be difficult for Hannah to give up Samuel. But he had faith when he said, "Only the Lord established his word," there in verse 23. We need to remember it would have been difficult for Elkanah, too, to give up Samuel, being his firstborn male to her and the rightful heir to his property. Elkanah clearly had great trust in Hannah. Not only did he trust her, but he loved her. He loved her. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Be not bitter against them. The fifth thing I want you to see, if the mothers make the biggest difference because they bless our lives. Some of you are mothers with an empty nest. Your children have started their own families. You're still their mother, but how does it look to be their mother at this stage in their lives? I believe the key is blessing them. Bless your children and your children's children. There are many ways that you can bless your children. Most of them have nothing to do with money. How about a word of encouragement? Try a brief phone call today. Write a quick email. Post a message on their Facebook page simply telling them, "I love you and I'm praying for you," and then actually pray for them. It'll go a long way. Take a moment to inquire about their lives. Be interested in your children's lives, even if it's not reciprocated. Ask questions about their inner self. If you're able to, within range, ask if you can take them or their children, your grandchildren, out to eat. With age comes wisdom, and you have much to offer. Don't hold it back. Share it in a loving manner. The sixth thing, and final, mothers make the biggest difference in our lives, and we should honor them. We should honor them. You never know how long your mom's going to be here. I'll never see my mom in this life again. Don't take that for granted. My last words to her were, "I love you." Thank God it was that. And I told her, I said, "Did Diane, my sister, tell you?" Because she was really antsy about the hospital at the time. I said, "Did Diane tell you that we built a room on the house specifically for you?" I said, "It's got wider doors in case you end up in a wheelchair. You can get around. We did that thinking of you." And that was one of my last conversations with her. Honor them. Honor them. Because it's oh so important. In Ephesians 6:2, the Bible says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Honor your father and mother. Honor them. Do mothers matter? I think the answer to that question is summed up in an old Jewish proverb. God could not be everywhere. So he made mothers. So he made mothers. Love your mother. Give them a call today. No matter what the relationship is. Call your children. Tell them. Don't let another day go by without making sure you communicate. It's so very, very important. Let's all stand together. Lord, thank you for your many blessings. I pray that you would just take this message, apply it to hearts and lives. Help each one of us to understand your love.